Bonjour, bonjour, bienvenue à cet épisode de Sois un homme champion. Donc, aujourd'hui, mesdames et messieurs, j'espère que vous allez bien. J'ai été inspiré à dos, de parler d'une situation qui est très importante, je pense, en Amérique du Nord. Je pense peut-être même partout à travers le monde, étant donné que on est dans une société très évoluée avec des problèmes tout aussi complexes aujourd'hui qu'on en avait il y a, par exemple, 2000 ans. Cependant, une des différences majeures, c'est le niveau de confort et le temps qu'on a sur les mains avec toute la convenience qui vient dans la société dans laquelle nous vivons. Puis parmi ces défis-là, la solitude, c'est une des choses je pense, qui est important d'adresser. Une des causes principales que les hommes disparaissent de notre monde, c'est définitivement la solitude. C'est sûr qu'il y a plusieurs autres facteurs qui peuvent rentrer en jeu, mais si on prend en considération les avantages d'avoir une communauté saine alentour de nous qui fait une grosse différence au niveau de notre santé mentale, on peut voir que les gens qui vivent le plus longtemps sont les gens qui ont des bonnes communautés sociales. C'est quelque chose qu'on peut voir un peu partout à travers le monde, particulièrement au Japon, où ce qu'il y a littéralement des endroits qui sont dédiés à des personnes avancées dans l'âge, qui passent leur temps à travailler dans leur communauté, à s'entraider, à s'apprécier. Fait que je pense que c'est vraiment important d'en parler. Puis il y a des psychologues qui suggèrent que la cause principale que les gens s'enlèvent la vie, c'est vraiment la solitude, le fait de ne pas avoir d'amis, pas avoir de connexion, rien qui nous garde ancrés dans ce monde. Donc, on va commencer ça. Je vais parler de style d'attachement. I'm speaking English a lot today, but that's fine. We're going to talk about attachment styles. We're also going to talk about ways to maintain relationships, build relationships. Some tips and tricks that I can give you to accomplish these things. So, if you will, hopefully you will enjoy this podcast episode. So, if I may, I'm going to be sharing my link real quick, people. To make sure that people can look into it. Right, I can do this. Share. All right, so let's start and dig in with attachment styles. Why is it important to understand and know what is your attachment style? Well, ladies and gentlemen, I think it is important because you'll learn why you behave the way you behave in certain relationships and certain situations. Most of the time, we're on autopilot, right? Most of the time, we don't pay attention to why we do things or why we think the way we think, why we behave the way we behave. We just try to simply validate our emotions through our behavior or argument or however other people perceive us. So, you know, the same way that you might enjoy wearing a specific shirt, if somebody compliments you on that shirt, you do feel validated for having made that choice. You feel good about yourself. On the other hand, if somebody says, that looks disgusting, that's an ugly shirt, you either take it in and feel bad about yourself for making that choice, or you'll just say, I don't care about this person, or you might even, on the flip side of things, start saying this person is this and that, their opinion is worthless, they're a trash person, they're idiots, I shouldn't, you know, and just kind of really shield yourself off from receiving or internalizing that information by twisting it in that manner. It is definitely a solution. J'aimerais aussi commencer le podcast en disant quelques petits trucs, là. Premièrement, Je tiens à remercier tout le monde qui m'a souhaité bonne fête. C'est très apprécié. Thank you all. C'était le 7. I'm now 34, an older man. I also want to take the time to let everybody know that if you need help and or assistance, if you need some extra pep in your walk and your talk and in the way that you do things, I will be praying for you, brothers. OK, la vie est pas facile. Puis je pense que avoir un peu de support, de que ce soit financier, que ce soit familial, amical ou même spirituel, c'est toujours pratique et utile. On va pouvoir en parler un peu aussi là, du côté de la communauté spirituelle que vous pouvez aller chercher, des avantages que vous pouvez aller chercher au niveau vraiment social. Mais c'est sûr qu'il y a d'autres avantages à la spiritualité, là, mais dans tous les cas, moi je vais prendre le temps de prier pour vous, messieurs, pour vous souhaiter et vous encourager à prendre les bons choix, à avoir la foi que vous allez pouvoir vous développer en tant que personne, puis avoir confiance que en poussant pour des choses positives, vous allez influencer positivement les gens autour de vous, puis créer un environnement et une ambiance qui est plus saine pour vous-même et pour vos proches. Fait que je vous laisse avec ces quelques paroles spirituelles. Donc, parlons de attachment styles. Shall we? Attachment styles. So, first of all. There's four types of attachment styles. This is something that is or has been studied, and I think I've spoken about it before in universities, in research facilities with young children, and then it has been looked into in more detail to allow for people to better understand this phenomenon. So there is the Attachment Project, which is a website. I'm going to fill one of the quizzes with you guys. I'll figure out what is my attachment styles, and we can look into that and kind of break it down to ensure that we understand what's going on here. Because how insecure attachment creates negative patterns in a relationship, there's many things to take into account, but let's start the quiz. Start quiz. Am I single in a relationship? I'm single. I'm between 31 and 40. I'm in Canada. I'm a man. Do you have children? I do not have children. Continue. Soothing and reassuring. Calm and soothe. First question out of 9 questions. All right. How to perceive the following conditions were met by your mother or caregiver in an early childhood? For the following category, consider your early childhood experience from the earliest childhood memories. Okay. Were you soothed and reassured, calm, soothed? I'm going to go with 3 out of 7. Support for activities. Took me to activities. Music lessons. I'm going to go 4 out of 7 on this. Is it friends? I know. I'd say a 5. Kept me safe from danger and threats. I felt safe when I was with them. I'm gonna go with a 2 on that. Felt safe. Yeah. Attunement. Was emotionally in tune with how I was feeling and could read emotions and respond in a way that made me feel understood what I felt. I'm going to go with a 4 on this one. Might not be as good as I would like and honest as I would like. It's kind of hard, but I'll do my best. Gave me things that I wanted to have, like toys, certain clothes, computers. I'm going to keep that as a 4 also. Encouragement, explored and discovered, helped me express natural interests and talents. I'm going to go with 3 on that. Basic needs, food, housing. Yeah, I'm going to... What? Why is it? because they keep doing that. Basic needs were met. I'm going to go with a 6. Physically around when I was growing up, I will say yes. Oh, I understand. I have to click it. Express delight. I took genuine interest in me and expressed delight in who I am, and I felt valued by them. I'm going to keep it as a 4 also. Continue. All right. Step 3 of 7. Early childhood father caregiver. Number 2. Wait a second. I'm going to go back because this was for the mother. Okay. Yes, support for activities from me mother. I'm going to say 4 protection. I'm going to say, yeah, I'm going to go for very rarely on that. Sorry, I'm going to change a couple of these. I understand how I felt, but I was an angry child. Very angry. Material things, I'm gonna keep it at a 4. Maybe even a 5. Encouragement. I'm gonna keep it at a 3. Basic needs, I'm gonna keep it there. Present. Yes, express a light. That's good. Alright. So now for the caregiver number 2, the father, if he was there or physically around when I was growing up, I'm gonna keep it as a 4 because my father used to work. Material things, bike, toys, and clothes, I'm gonna go for a 5. Support, sports, and activities, I'm gonna go for a 5. Express delight, generate interest in what I'm gonna go for a 3 on that. Soothing and reassuring, I'm going to go with a 2 on that. Protection, I'm going to go with a 3 on the protection scale. Attunement, I'm going to go with a 5. Encouragement, encourage exploration and discovery, help me find and express, I'm going to go with a 2. And basic needs, I'm definitely going to go with a higher number, 6. Let's say 7, actually. All right, relationship structure with the mother. One of 9 questions, and this is step number 4. I talk things over with this person strongly. I talk things over. I mean, we did. I'll keep it neutral. I'm afraid of this person may abandon me. I was not afraid of that. I kind of wanted to leave. I prefer not to show this person how I felt deep down. That was not my case. For me. I don't feel comfortable opening to this person. Strongly agree. Let me send this to a few people I think might. Benefit from this questionnaire. I'm just gonna All right, I find it easy to depend on this person. I would say I was often worry that this person doesn't really care about me. I worry that this person won't care about me as much as I like or care about him or her. I'll keep it at neutral. Did I worry about the fact that they were not like me? Slightly agree. It helps to turn to this person in time of needs. I'm going to go with a disagree here. I usually discuss problems and concerns with this person. Strongly disagree. I did not do that. Caregiver number 2. It was this step 5 of 7. So we're going to be looking into that now. and I find it easy to depend on this person. I will say, agree. I had a better time with my father than I did with my mother, even though he was a structured and disciplinary one. It helps to turn to this person in time of need. Slightly agree. I usually discuss problems and concern with this person, slightly disagree. I prefer not to show this person how I feel deep down. I would say slightly agree. I don't feel comfortable opening up to this person. I would say agree. The scale is from strongly disagree to strongly agree, going from strongly disagree, disagree, slightly agree, neutral, slightly agree, agree, and strongly disagree. That's the scale. I'm talking over, talk things over with this person. I would say slightly agree. It used to happen a bit more. I often worry that this person doesn't care for me. I would say a disagree. I worry that this person won't care about me as much as I care about her. I will strongly disagree. I'm afraid that this person may abandon me. I will strongly disagree. I had no concept of that. Relationship structure in romantic partner. Please answer the following questions with respect to your romantic partner. If you are currently not in a romantic partner relationship, please answer these questions with respect to how you feel in your most recent meaningful relationship. If you have never been into a relationship before, imagine what such a relationship would be. All right. So, I talk things over with this person. I would love that. So, this is true. It helps to turn to this person in time of need. I'll slightly agree. I usually discuss my problems and concerns with this person. Slightly agree. I prefer not to show this person how I feel. This is deep down as strong. I'm going to go with disagree, not strong disagree. I'm afraid that this person may abandon me. Strong disagree. I find it easy to depend on this person. I will say agree. I don't feel comfortable opening up to this person. Strongly disagree. I often worry that this person doesn't really care about me. I'm just going for disagree on this one. I worry that this person won't care about me as much as I care about them. Disagree. Continue. And finally, step 7 of 7, general attachment style. Please read the following statement and write the extent to which you believe each statement best describes your feelings about close relationships in general. I don't feel comfortable opening up to others. I will say mixed. It depends on the person. Actually, slightly disagree. I worry that others don't care about me as much as I will take care of, about them. I will disagree. I don't worry about it. I often worry that other people do not really care about me. I don't really think about that. I often worry that other people don't. Yeah, I don't really. I talk things over with people. I will agree. I find it easy to depend on others. I will say slightly disagree. I'm afraid that other people may abandon me. I disagree. It helps to turn to people in times of need. Slightly agree. I usually discuss problems and concerns with others. Agree, I do that. I prefer not to show other people how I feel deep down. Slightly disagree. Continue. All right, so here is the information that I'm gonna put this in JS, my email. I agree with terms of condition. Show my report. Oh, I have to agree to the email to show the report. Okay. So name, and we'll break it down and look into it together. So my attachment style. So there's a matrix here. Okay. I want to show you guys, if I can with my words, what this attachment matrix is. So on the x-axis, there's anxiety, and on the y-axis, there's avoidance. top left, we have this missing attachment, which is blue. Top right, we have disorganized attachment, which is red. Bottom left is secure attachment, which is green, and preoccupied attachment, bottom right, which is yellow. So, I don't know what this graph means, but technically speaking, I'm more on the minus x-axis, like very far out there in the anxiety level, so very low anxiety level. What's up? Man, this is aggressive. And then on the avoidance level, I'm more on the 0, closer to the 0. I have a bit on the dismissive attachment and secure attachment. So that's where I play with the ball. All right. Perfect for those who are ready to work on serious changes in their lives. Oh, okay, there's a $47 Canadian booklet to use on these attachment styles. So, let's read it out. Hi, Jess, your attachment style is secure. You are one step closer to understanding yourself better and improving your relationships. We hope you are ready to access your attachment style quiz result and discover how to heal in your self-perceptions and relationships with others. Everything is about balance, I think. So ideally, yeah, congratulations on having a secure attachment style is great news. Either your needs were adequately met during your formative years, or else you worked hard on your relationships and circumstances to get where you are emotionally in life. The secure attachment style is considered to be the most balanced and healthy of the four styles. The other three attachment styles are insecure, anxious, avoidant, and disorganized. One in three people have one of these forms of insecure attachments, and as a result, likely to exhibit attachment disturbances throughout their different domains of their life. When working with someone with an insecure attachment style, the aim is to help them transition towards earned security by helping them feel more safe and secure with their emotions and their relationships. So this is a huge thing, especially if you're gonna look into therapy or psychology. If you feel the need, because I've spoken to a couple of people, if you feel the need to like validate your relationships or you know, test boundaries of your relationships, I would say that those are like very well understood key triggers to make you realize as a person that you might be in an insecure attachment style, right? And you might be wondering, yeah, well, you know, I wish my friends would talk to me more. Is that either an anxious attachment style or not? Well, it really depends on how you want to deal with that specific situation. And we've talked about how relationships are maintained previously and what they're worth and how to understand them. So I'm not going to go into too much detail for that now. But with my specific attachment style, it's easier for me to make someone feel comfortable when I do meet with them, because if I come to peace with the fact that if I'm not going to be friends with this person, I'm okay with it to some extent, because I'm okay with being with myself. I do very much appreciate closure on any relationship that I pursue personally. I don't think that falls into those spectrums, but I really appreciate it because I don't like having my relationships disorganized and not clear, like, where do I stand on this? Either if we don't make a decision together, I will make a decision for us and I will be okay with it. That's how I deal with my relationships. And this applies to absolutely everyone in every spectrum of my life. And my family and friends know. They know. And I've always been clear. If you're going to be mean, if you're going to be dismissive, if you're going to be disrespectful, you can be anybody in my life, any title, I will disown you. If you cannot behave appropriately with me, there's no amount of love that I will pour into an empty vessel or a broken jar to try and fill it up, because I understand and realize that doing that is futile. I have, personally, a very big heart. I love to love. I love to care for the people I love. I love to share in my happiness and enjoying of life. And if I'm going to be pouring that energy into a vessel, imagine a cup that has a hole at the bottom, that cup will never be filled. And eventually, I will empty my own cup out and I will be exhausted, right? I've had relationships in the past where that had happened. I was with a very attractive person, and I was happy beyond my understanding of like how lucky I was to be with this person. But she was very negative. She did not want to fix her problems. She, I didn't have the energy and patience to be able to try and help them help themselves at that point in my life, because I was much younger and I was not in a secure attachment style at that point in my life. So to me, with my different life experiences, I've understood how it's important. If you're going to try to make things happen, and every time you try to use your shovel, the sand or the dirt or the rocks, they fall out, the gravel, whatever it is, you're never going to move that pile away from your road, right? It's always going to stay there. So you're like working for nothing, really, basically. You want to avoid doing that. So if there's a path that is blocked by debris, and you either do not have the right tools for the job, or your tools are defective, or one or the other, you need to realize what's happening and to change your mindset or change your approach on that specific situation. It could be a relationship with your parents, with a best friend, with a lover. If that person in your life is not ready to work on themselves to make sure that you both can have a healthy, established relationship, then it's just never going to work, right? Because you could try all your life to recover your relationship with your mom or your dad, but if they don't want to work on themselves and they don't want to have that relationship with you, you are basically working for nothing. I know we're supposed to talk about friendships, but I want to finish for specifically this subject on this, which is, I think, really important. If you're trying to have a relationship with your parents or like a very important person in your life, and it's a toxic relationship, you need to figure out what's your threshold for pain tolerance and when it becomes too much and or excessive. Because you would be validated and or it's worth trying to maintain a relationship with one of these persons, especially if it's someone that you really want to have a relationship and it's important for you in your life, but not at the cost of your mental health. All right. So let's say I want to have a relationship with my mother, and every time I talk to her about things that have triggered me or that triggered me on a regular basis, and she becomes defensive, avoidant, and she's not tackling these things, I don't have to engage with her at that point. And if I realize what's going on, I take a step back and I'm like, okay, this is not working. I'm just going to leave. I'm going to put up my boundaries, right? Not walls, boundaries. So if you want to have a relationship with somebody, you can tell them, and I encourage you to tell them, these are the circumstances in which I agree to have a relationship with you or to talk to you. For instance, if I'm going to engage in a relationship with you, for instance, a mother, I want respect, I want clear communication, and I want us to be able to clearly express what we want without judging the other person. And if I can't have those circumstances while we engage in conversation, I will either move away from this conversation or cut it out. I've had to put up boundaries. I've had to block people. I've had to let them know, you know, what are my limits? When you do this, I feel this way. I would like to not feel this way. So I either need to revisit how I view this relationship, or could you maybe explain to me why you're behaving the way you're behaving, you know? If I say, when you behave this way, it makes me feel anxious or stressed, and the other person is like, well, it's not my fault, blah, 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 blah. They're not taking accountability for their actions and their relationship with you, in which case, move away until they're ready to give you what you need, right? So, let's talk about how to make friends at this point. In interpersonal studies and communication, we learned that there's a couple of things that easy tools you can use that affect humans in a way that makes it easier to maintain and or to develop a relationship. For us men, we can bond over pretty much anything and everything. That being said, maintaining a relationship takes effort. You need to take the time to make people feel either welcome or appreciated, or maybe they admire you, but you need to take the time. If you don't take the time, you will never develop a relationship, right? A relationship is like a plant. If you don't water it regularly, if you don't maintain it, put it in the sun, give it some nutrients, you know, it's not going to give you what you need. In exchange, though, if you're growing a plant, it needs to yield something for you, for it to be worth to you, anything. So what do I mean by that? Well, let's say I have a relationship with person X, and what I'm yielding out of this relationship is happiness from having this relationship, companionship from being with this person. We get to play video games together, talk about deep conversations, enjoy video games or anime or whatever it is. Whatever we can enjoy together, we enjoy, and I feel a connection with this person, and there's a lot of exchange going on, right? That is the yield that you're getting from that plant or that relationship. But if you keep pouring in water and giving it nutrients and this and that and that, and it's not working, either the attachment style you have is not compatible with the other. Maybe the person is just not interested. But at that point, if you're used to watering your plants once a week, and that's a plant that you should water once a month, you're going to drown it or kill it. So you need to adapt to make sure that you know how to maintain that specific plant if you want to keep it in your life. Now, that being said, I've had friends who have moved away, and I've had a hard time maintaining a relationship with this person, especially long distance. And unfortunately, this person fell into depression, alcoholism, and a lot of other unhealthy habits that unfortunately I've not been able to be there to help this person. I wish I could, but it's not my responsibility to help them. And every time I did reach out, not to justify that anything could have been done, but any time that I would try to reach out, it was very hard for them, I guess, to answer me or to maintain any form of relationship. So at that point, not to harass the person, I try to send them a message once a month, and then it became once a year. And even then, when that person would not respond, I would... Now it's once every couple of years, because I still, deep down, it's I still care for this person, but I understand that they need their space, and they might not want me in their life, and that's okay. I'm okay with that, but you know, the pacing is important. So when you're trying to build a relationship with somebody, friendship, it's important to have a common interest in something. I think that's the basic. Men or women, whatever. Some of the very useful ways to easily create friends or to find friends is to go in environments where there is an established community. Not only that, it needs to be also surrounded by a scheduled activity. So it could be painting, you could go to martial arts class, you could go take any type of class, go for play for a team, a sport, whatever. But that repetitiveness creates that level of comfort that we have between each other. We need to understand that, like, humans are not made to live in these big ass tribes of millions or hundreds of thousands of people. Wherever you live, you have to every time, basically your brain can remember up to about 100 people. You're made to remember and or maintain about 100 relationships. Now, we live in a society where there's so many people, you cannot have relationships with absolutely all of these people. There's too many. So you need to choose. The other issue there is that you will have... Yeah, every time now that you meet somebody, you need to think, are they a threat or not? There's all of these things happening, right? Because we know for a fact that some people are ill-intended. Therefore, we need to be safe. We need to be wary. And that's about it. After that, the fact that it's a scheduled activity and it happens on a regular basis creates a level of comfort. Now, you are kind of forcing yourself onto other people's 100 slots of people that they know by having that repetitiveness, right? And then it becomes more comfortable for others to be around you and to engage in conversations with you because they know why you're here. They know who you are. They've seen you. They've seen you engage with other people. And maybe they want to create a connection with you. Maybe they don't. But it's going to be much easier to maintain a relationship in that condition and in those conditions. So repetitiveness is really good. And if we're going to be talking about, let's say, finding a partner and attractiveness, repetitiveness in that scenario augments attractiveness. There's a research, there's a study that shows that that was made with a bunch of women, and they would have asked them a question about how attractive they found XYZ person. Turns out that someone that had, let's say, an average attractiveness scale, but was around the area or in the building, same building as somebody who lived in their, let's say, apartment building, they were ranked more attractive by the people in their own circle or building because of familiarity. That's what was c'est ce qui a été découvert par cette recherche-là. This specific research that is what was discovered. So there's that too, right? That easiness, that safety, that comfort that comes with repetitiveness on those types of activities. The other thing that you can do to maintain friendships. Now, this is a story about a parrot. There's a community of parrots. They did this research where they would allow parrots to use an iPad because parrots are very social creatures and a lot of them live alone with their human relatives, I would say. And what happened is that one of the human relatives got a new job and couldn't be there as much. So they wanted their parrot to be able to communicate and engage with other birds so that it could stay healthy, it could keep the relationship. As species, we are made to communicate. We are made to exchange. We're not made to be alone, all right? Like, across the animal kingdom, we're not made to be alone. Some of us as creatures do spend more time alone than others, but ultimately, we need each other. So, now, what happened was that one of the parrots would call a lot of other birds very often. And what was studied in their behavior, which is really interesting and can also be applied to human behavior, is that the more that the bird reached out to people, the other birds, that bird was the most popular bird and also got the most attention from other birds by giving out attention, by calling the other birds and interacting with them. They evaluated every other bird and how much between them they would receive calls. And let's say parrot A, which would call the other, let's say 25 parrots, got a lot more time and a lot more relationships than, let's say, parrot B, who would call only maybe two birds, including parrot A, right? So that is what was studied. What does that tell us about how to maintain relationships? Basically, engaging with people, even if it's small talk, it has value, right? Just asking people, if very easy questions. You don't need to go into things that will be hard to discuss. You know, you can talk about news, you can talk about the weather, you can talk about your project's aspiration, you can talk about work, but stay on the positive side of things, right? As in, if you're going to talk about work, so any exciting projects, what do you enjoy about your work, things like that, not just a general question where somebody is going to start complaining, because that's another issue. If you do try to create relationships with people, there are certain things that you absolutely want to avoid, especially when you start talking to somebody that you do not know. Anything negative in nature, except if it's like a tragedy and you need somebody to talk to and you let them know in advance, and if they're okay with it, then you can talk about it, like the loss of a loved one, for instance. But you don't start complaining when you meet somebody for the first time. They're immediately going to bar you out. Other things that you don't do. Don't be greedy. Don't be selfish. You know, don't just talk about yourself. Don't show interest in the other person, ideally, more than yourself. And if the other person asks a lot of questions, that's also fine. Just make sure, hey, I enjoy answering your questions, but I'm curious to know a bit more about yourself. Are you okay with that? And just exchange and engage with that person and try to get to know them better. What shows, what music. I think music is probably the best thing to talk about. Easiest conversation starter. Why? Because music is the language of the soul and everybody has one. So if you don't like music, you are either a demon or an undead. Because in according to World of Warcraft, undead like metal music. So that is not a thing. That being said, it's easy to engage with people. It's very easy, especially if you talk about music. There's a bunch of things you can talk about. You can talk about food. Like, what are the things that everybody do, right? We eat. We sleep. We talk. We have entertainment. We have families. We listen to music. We ideally exercise. Or not. But you should. So those are all like very simple things that we can do to create relationships. Now, another tip and trick that you can use is to create social gatherings or social events. Let's say you have a group of friends. You might not see them as much as you like, you would love. You might have different groups of friends. I consider myself a social butterfly. I have a couple of groups of friends from different spheres. That being said, I definitely would love to have a group of select people together as we are like-minded, and I think we would really enjoy each other's company. But you have to organize these things, right? You have to do it yourself. So you could either, again, you could use everything I've mentioned as it could be a jam session. It could be, you know, having a dinner, a potluck, something that you do once a month. If everybody is practicing a project, maybe it's a business oriented meeting where everybody gets to share one thing about their business, and maybe everybody can, or a challenge, and everybody can pitch in to try and how can I say, help each other elevate their ideas, their experiences, and or help each other find solutions to maybe a challenge or a problem. So I think that could be very interesting. I'm actually going to try that pretty soon. But you need to be the one that coordinates and organizes, because in this day and age in our society, everybody's on autopilot. Everything's expensive. And to take the time to organize activities, to take the time to see your friends, see your family, you need to schedule it, or you need to like have it on a regular basis. I started meeting with my family every Sunday. That's something that I put up myself for, because I think maintaining relationships is very important. And even if we don't talk much, and even if we just spend time together, we watch a movie, or it's a couple of hours, I still want to have those relationships and that time with these people, because they're my family. And I don't see anybody else as much. And that just goes to show how important they are to me. That's the way I see it. So again, but if some of these people in my family were to behave in the ways that I've described earlier as unhealthy, I would dissociate myself entirely. I would be like, okay, I'm gone, bitch. This is it. I'm done. That being said, fortunately, we've managed to talk about a lot of things, heal a lot of things. And so it's important for you as a person to take charge of your own happiness. Take accountability for your relationships and happiness. And one of the ways that you can do that, planning events. It's okay if not everybody shows up. Even if it's one or two person people, it's going to be fun. It's going to be enjoyable. And it's important to organize these things. It could be with your family members. It could be with your friends. I strongly advise and encourage you to have once a month organize something with friends and family, or one or the other. Once a month, it is your duty, your task, to take the time to coordinate and to meet up with these people. I think for some people it's easier than others. Some people might already have a scheduled activity to which they participate on a regular basis, but definitely we should have this happening. So I'm going to be working on that myself. I've laid back on doing that. It's been a while since I organized something. Last time I organized a father and son meeting. I should organize a second father and son meeting either in the fall, and the other one is going to be for my close family member, probably this summer. So the other thing that's interesting, especially if you're going to go with friends and not just family, but friends, you can have people invite people, right? You can maybe have a select group of five. Everybody gets to bring one other person, maybe two, and it's a potluck. So if you have anybody that likes music or jamming or playing music or whatever, I would love to have them get together and create, have fun. And it gets to, you get to meet new people, and maybe they'll invite, you know, people of the other sex. Or if you were in a weekly activity, soccer, guitar lessons, painting, well, eventually you could be like, hey, I'm having this event on this day. And ideally have it like a week or more away to get the person mentally prepared for it. And then you could adapt. Like if the person doesn't show up and they say they will, you know where they stand and you'll stop inviting them, right? And all of that good stuff. Personally, I always give people two chances, but that's just me. Only if they have a reasonable explanation also, of course. In any case, by doing these, you get to invite people that usually would not or don't already know and not already have in your circle of friends. And that can create new relationships. Maybe you could find a girlfriend. Maybe you could, you know, find meaningful relationships. Maybe a future business partner. A lot of things can happen. So it could be a flag football game, a touch football game, playing soccer, a spike ball, frisbee, going for a bike run, ice cream, you name it. All the reasons are good. It could be like, let's as a group go and grab an ice cream cone. Let's as a group go dance in the park. Let's as a group, you know, whatever it is, you do it with your buds, guy, girl, whatever. You do what you got to do. You create the relationships you got to really create. And you take the time to nurture and maintain those plants that are important to you, right? Different types of plants require different types of nutrients, different types of scheduling for water. And to understand and appreciate that is really important, because you also have your own pacing that you have to respect. If you're not an overly social person, then don't overschedule yourself for social interactions. Go with your own pace, right? So with that being said, I think today covered a lot of areas to facilitate and understand how to create relationships and friendships and bonds when it comes down to maintaining a healthy lifestyle. Now, I'm going to finish on this note for healthy lifestyle. If you don't take the time to schedule things or to make it like an organized daily routine, it's a lot harder to inquire or incorporate these things in your daily life, which is normal. And you should also try to keep that in mind. If your threshold, because you might not be organized, is once a month, then once a month is plenty enough. If your threshold is three times a month, then you do that. Power to you, brother. But at the end of the day, it's all about balance. And keeping things moving and flowing. And even if you try once and it doesn't work, that's okay. Learn from that experience. Try to ask people why they couldn't come or why they couldn't show up, or in what conditions or circumstances could they engage in these types of events if you want to organize them. And just take it in stride and keep moving forward. As long as things are moving, it's a healthy progress. Right? You might not be able to do a push-up today, but at least you tried. And tomorrow, you might not be able to, but at least you tried again. And maybe 10 days down the line, maybe 50 days down the line, hey, you did a push-up. Now it's time to start the second push-up. And day 51, a push-up, and that's about it. But hey, you tried. And applying yourself and taking the time to evolve, to grow, to experience is important. You cannot have an outcome in which you are not involved in. It's just never going to happen. Right? You miss 100% of the shots you don't take. I can repeat a bunch of these things, but that's the closing statement here. So again, thank you for listening. Today has been in English. Podcast, and I hope that you will take the time to take care of yourself, because social interactions and social and healthy relationships are very important for the human mind. If we look at Maslow's pyramid of needs, human interaction and human connection, very important. There's also other benefits to having a lot of these social interactions. It's that if you are going down, and we spoke about this a couple of weeks back, if you're going down the wrong path, and you don't have those very close friends to say, hey man, whatever you're doing is not ideal, you shouldn't do that, or even have consequences for your actions from these people who can like forgive you and appreciate you for, you know, saying sorry or whatever you did, mistakes, you're going to have a hard time engaging or creating relationships with other people in general. So get that practice in, get that experience in, take the time. And if you need it, meditate, pray, whatever you need. That is part of the experience. If you're hitting a roadblock and you don't know what to do, or you feel overwhelmed, take a step back, meditate, call a friend, change your mindset. Don't stay in that dark place. Maybe you're deficient in something, like vitamins, or maybe you haven't eaten properly that morning. Whatever it is, figure it out, try different things, and you'll learn, and learn to listen to yourself, you know. Meditate, maybe lay in your bed, close your eyes, put your hands together, cross your fingers together, make your thumbs touch, put your hands that are clasped together on your chest, the center of your chest, and meditate. How you'd meditate? Deep breathing exercise. So what you do is left and right hand, you cross your fingers together so they're enlaced while your hands are extended, and then you're going to bring both of your thumbs together to touch. You're going to lay down on your bed or whatever comfortable position you can, and you're going to put your hand on a comfortable position, which I would say is the sternum. You're going to close your eyes, and you're just going to breathe through your nose. So you want to breathe in slowly, a very complete intake of air. Hold for a second. And slowly exhale. So we're going to do it again. Close your eyes. If you're driving, don't. But you can still practice. Take a deep breath through only your nose. Hold on for 1 second. And exhale through your mouth. And you can do this for as long as you want. And just focus on your breathing. Focus on the muscles, focus on, and you'll feel some type of way. You'll feel maybe your brain start to kind of feel fuzzy, or you'll definitely learn to listen to yourself and learn to understand what you're going through. And if there's a problem and you need to meditate, this is a good way to meditate, to keep your cool, to bring your emotions down to a more rational level. Even if you're emotional and excited, if you do this exercise, it will mechanically reduce your stress. So you will feel less stressed, and you will also, it's just gonna help. And also, if you're jumbled with your ideas and you don't know what to do, and you're kind of like at rope's end, doing that will help you ground yourself. And then we can talk about how to control your anxiety or control your stress in a later episode, but it's a very good technique that is taught in a lot of areas, in the sports psychology of sports area, in the wellness and therapy. It's also something that is taught and a lot of these different spheres for mental health spheres, pardon me. Definitely some good stuff going on there. So that being said, that was the official closing statement. So the next one, God bless you and have a great day.